From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 23rd day of June, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Dan O'Brien will join us as we close out our time together to discuss the agricultural energies. He's at K-State University Extension in Manhattan, Kansas. And along the way, we'll check in on crop conditions across Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa with the state statisticians and get an update of the weather forecast too with Don Day at Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like, right there at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. July corn down 3.25 today at $3.25. December, $3.36, a nickel lower. And the March down 4.75 at $3.48.75. The May futures in the corn pit at $3.56, 4.25 lower. And July of next year down 4 cents at $3.61.5. July soybeans, 1.25 lower, $8.75 the settlement price. November at $8.74. Down 5.25. January 4.75 lower at $8.78. And the March contract there at $8.74, down 4.25. Bean oil futures 18 cents lower at $28.17. And the bean meal at $2.86.30, down 20 cents. Wheat futures July soft red up 1 cent for the day. $4.86 the settlement price. The hard red July at $4.35, up 3.75 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby contract at $93.52.5, 87.5 cents lower. August on out were higher, though, at $97.20 for that August contract, up $2.75, and October up 1.30 for the day. August feeder cattle at $133.20, up $1.45, and the September's there at $134.47.5, $1.40 higher. Lean hogs July contract, $46.90, up 7.5. The August up $1.40 at $52.50. Crude oil down around 33 cents a barrel. Ethanol futures 2 cents lower on the day. Heating oil off 1.3 cents, and that's diesel fuel. Gasoline on the RBOB, the wholesale price up 1 cent higher for the day at $1.30 and 0.1 cent for 1 gallon. Natural gas down 2.7 cents. The Dow is up about 192 points. The U.S. dollar off 0.385. And gold futures up $15.20. They're trading at $1,771.90. We're now joined by Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, to help us take a look at what happened in the world of the agricultural markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
That was a down day. Why was that the case on this Tuesday?
Well, you know, a couple things, Todd. Number one, we got a very, very nice rate, about 1 inch overnight, and a lot of the areas have seen that. And with the way the crops are looking, the crop ratings we saw yesterday, that's one reason. Overnight, Peter Navarro made a real gaffe about the trade agreement. We're not sure the Chinese deal was over. I guess he meant it was over and phase one had already been negotiated, because President Trump answered it later and we bounced way back off the lows, because that really shot things down. But as we went on today, the weather seems to be improved. It looks like it's going to continue to be good, and with the crop ratings where they were, without a weather problem or some big surprise in the report a week from today, the trend is going to be hard to be up rather than just sideways to maybe a little bit down.
What are your expectations for the rest of the week? And then I suppose you're kind of looking forward to next week's USDA reports.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's going to be a big deal to see what they're going to say for the acreage, what it actually got planted, what's going to be looking at, whether we see how big of an increase we see in the beans, whether we see it go over to cotton or something else along the way, and how much of a decrease we'll see in the corn market. But we're going to be watching the weather maps very close to see how things are going with that report and China. And we don't want to hear any more of this, the deals off with China type stuff either, because that could be very disastrous to us right now.
What are farmers talking to you about as it relates to their old crop corn?
You know, there's an awful lot of old crop corn on a basis that hasn't been priced under the July. And I'm hearing that most of them just don't want to roll it one more time. So I think there's going to be a lot of corn priced in the next week here along the way by farmers at the facilities, you know, at the Cargills and the ADMs and the Andersons and that way. So I think we're going to see a lot of corn actually being priced.
Now that'll keep a lid on the marketplace, I would think.
That's another reason why we weren't surprised that the market was down today, Todd. I think that we're going to see that. You know, Friday's July option expiration. Generally, this is the week that we sort of top out going into the summer that way on some things. And it looks like we're going to ease on down rather than ease on up for right now. And unless we see a real change in the forecast or so the Chinese do step forward, you know, some good corn purchases would really help this market.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly Crop Progress and Conditions Report. It showed for the first time a silking number for corn across the nation. It says that now stands at 2%. The rolling five-year average is 2% as well. The condition of the crop is 15% excellent and 57% good. That's a little worse than it was the previous week at 56 and 15. Soybean planting has been 96% completed across the nation. The rolling five-year average is 93%. 89% of that crop has emerged, and 5% of the crop is blooming now. This is the first week that's been reported on the national level. The normal rolling five-year average is also 5%, and the condition of the crop is not quite as good as last week at 58% good and 12% excellent. Last week, those numbers were 60% good and 12% excellent. And finally, 96% of the winter wheat crop is headed, 97% is the five-year average, 29% is harvested. That's a little behind the five-year average of 26%. The condition of the crop is said to be 43% good and 9% excellent. That's up 2 percentage points in the combined categories from the previous week. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions.
This is Brad Medlock, agricultural statistician for the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service. Statewide, there were 4.7 days suitable for field work during the weekend in June 21st, 2020. There were several reports farmers found it difficult to spray their crops due to constant winds during the week. Fieldwork activities also included finishing up planting, harvesting hay, and hauling grain. Topsoil moisture levels rated 1% very short, 7% short, 83% adequate, and 9% surplus. There were only a few reports of corn beginning to silk in parts of the state. Corn condition rated 85% good to excellent. Soybean emergence reached 96%, 16 days ahead of last year and 1 week ahead of the five-year average. Soybean condition rated 84% good to excellent. Oats headed progressed to 71%, 1 week ahead of last year but 1 day behind average. Oat condition rated 83% good to excellent. 93% of the first cutting of alfalfa hay has been completed. A few farmers have begun their second cutting of alfalfa. Hay condition rated 75% good to excellent. Pasture condition rated 70% good to excellent. No livestock issues were reported for the week. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Regional Field Office, this is Brad Medlock.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Temperatures were near normal and rainfall was below normal for most of Illinois last week. There was an average of 6.4 days suitable for field work around the state, and farmers used them to spray crops, harvest wheat, and bale hay. Topsoil moisture supplies were rated 7% very short, 26 short, 63 adequate, and 4% surplus. That is drier than 1 week ago. The average rainfall for the state was 0.4 inches compared to nearly 1 inch normally. Many areas did receive needed rain showers, but totals were generally below normal for this time of year. Temperatures averaged 72.8 degrees and ranged from 3 degrees below normal up to 2 degrees above normal. Winter wheat harvest advanced by 23 points and is now 26% finished. That compares to 12% 1 year ago and 37% for the five-year average. The condition of the Illinois wheat crop was reported as 14% very poor to poor, 21% fair, and 65% good to excellent, a little better than 1 week ago. Soybean planting is now 97% finished, compared to last year's 76% and 92% normally. The condition of the crop was reported as 8% very poor to poor, 32% fair, and 60% good to excellent. That is worse than 1 week ago. The Illinois corn crop was reported as 9% very poor to poor, 32% fair, and 59% good to excellent. That is also worse than 1 week ago. Moving on to hay, the first cutting of alfalfa hay is now 97% finished, and other hay harvest is 94% complete. The second cutting of alfalfa hay has just begun. Pasture conditions were rated 6% very poor to poor, 29 fair, and 65% good to excellent. That is a little worse than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, State Statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Isolated rains were timely for those that received precipitation, and above average temperatures throughout Minnesota continue to advance crop development. There were 4.3 days suitable for field work during the week. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 1% very short, 9% short, 72% adequate, and 18% surplus. Minnesota's corn and soybean emergence were both virtually complete. Few reports of corn silking were received this week, while soybeans blooming reached 1%. Corn condition improved slightly to 85% good to excellent, and soybean condition dropped to 81% good to excellent. Spring wheat jointing at 74% was 5 days ahead of last year, but 2 days behind average. Spring wheat condition declined to 81% good to excellent. Minnesota's first cutting of alfalfa hay was 88% complete, that's 10 days ahead of last year and 5 days ahead of average. Hay condition declined to 63% good to excellent, and pasture conditions also declined to 64% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress and conditions in their regions. On this Tuesday, let's check the weather forecast. Don Day is here. He's with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. It's an absolutely gorgeous weather day here. I kind of think this came from your part of the world. Tell me about what we'll see in the next week or so.
Yeah, it really is very pleasant because we're in a temperature pattern where I call it the Goldilocks temperature pattern, where it's warm, but it's not too hot. And humidities are fairly low. And, you know, for another couple of days, that's going to be how it's going to go. A few scattered showers and thunderstorms will pop up, but nothing significant. As we go into the weekend and into early next week, we'll start to see an uptick in the activity when it comes to shower and thunderstorm chances. This is going to be especially true as we get into the weekend and early next week. Thunderstorm coverage across the central and northern western Corn Belt will pick up. We're also going to see some needed rain. There's been some good rain in spots in some of the winter wheat country of southwest Kansas, eastern Colorado, and the Texas-Oklahoma panhandles. They'll see some shower and thunderstorm activity as well. It's also going to get wet again along the Gulf Coast this weekend and into early next week. So enjoy the quiet weather we have now.
Yeah, can you take a look back for me really quickly from Friday, Saturday into yesterday? I think I had 6/10 at the home place on Saturday. Another inch fell yesterday. Was that fairly widespread across a large portion of the Corn Belt or not?
It was. I mean, in every rain pattern, you always have winners, you always have losers. But overall, you know, the coverage of the amounts you just mentioned was a good 60% over most of the Corn Belt. Now, there were some pockets in the north and the west that maybe didn't get that much. Those are the areas that got a little bit less. And we're going to see a similar coverage pattern with this increase in thunderstorm activity this weekend and next week.
Does it come with warmer weather, too? Because I was thinking earlier in the season, not very long ago, in fact, we were talking about a warm, wet summer.
Well, that appears to be the case. Now, will temperatures be what I would call hot for an extended period of time? Doesn't look like that, but we are going to head into early July here now, and we can expect at least temperatures to be at average or slightly above average at times. But we don't see, at the same time, extended heat either.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Talk to us about the weather forecast. Now we're joined by Dan O'Brien of K-State University. He's in Manhattan, Kansas. Hey, thanks for being with us, Dan. You're here, of course, to talk about the agricultural energies. But I want to start with energy directly to begin with. Each month you put together a slide set for us here at WILL. Thank you very much. And for your folks at K-State University or Kansas State. You sent that to me earlier today, and I want to begin with the retail price of gasoline. Has it recovered very much from the depths of the coronavirus slide?
Somewhat. When you look at national retail gasoline prices, we had dipped below $2 a gallon, now back up to about $2.21. That's happened in the last one or two, well, the last week or so. Diesel prices have, whereas the degree to which they had fallen off, they've just started their ascent of recovery up to about $2.42. That's up about a few cents from where their bottom had been. But again, we're up about 20 or so cents in the last week or so in retail gasoline prices. No doubt, that's probably tied in with summer driving activities, the economy opening up some. So it's all a positive for the ethanol, for the energy industry overall, on the gasoline side, and particularly for the ethanol plants.
Yeah, it's part of number of miles driven for ethanol, but it's also about the ratio, RBOB, to the price of ethanol. What does that look like?
We've come back to where ethanol is slightly below RBOB in price. And when we had the big monkey wrench, with a wrench thrown into the ethanol industry, we saw ethanol prices fall off to about 84 cents a gallon. And well, in early March, they're 128, had fallen to 84 cents. But RBOB gasoline had fallen from $1.54 to about 55 cents, so dropped a dollar. So here you had a ratio of about 1.5 of ethanol to RBOB, way out of kilter to anything we'd seen prior to that. And from the beginning of April to May, and now beginning of June, and now and on here recently on yesterday, June 22nd, we had seen 1.5, 1.3, 1.07, and now a ratio of 0.98 of ethanol to RBOB. So again, somewhat of a return to normalcy.
The plants had idled during part of that. Are they beginning to jump production back up?
It looks like that. And just eyeballing weekly ethanol plant production, we had gotten up to about a little over 1 million barrels per day at a rate of that 1.1 thereabouts, had dropped off to about, below 600 million to about 575 or so. And now we're back up to about a little over 800. So it looks like we're about 80% of where we had been just by the pace of usage. Now that's plus or minus some, but we have seen some recovery. And without question, when the Renewable Fuel Association came out and said, gosh, we're nearing 50% of our plants being idled, that was a big deal, or either idled or cut back production. And I think that cutback is what we'd seen in Kansas, down about a third of what they had before. Well, now most of those plants, a good number of them, apparently have come back online. So again, just our in broad aggregate, our rate of production is about 80%, it looks like, of where we had been prior to the cutbacks that we'd seen.
Yeah, so one of the problems that the ethanol plants were facing, one of the larger problems, was not only were vehicles sitting in the garage, but ethanol stocks didn't have any place to go, and the plants don't have storage, really, or not very much. So stocks, I think, were building. Do we have a problem in that part of the pipeline still?
We did, for sure. You saw quite a spike, actually, in the midst of the worst of this, of the ethanol problem, of the COVID-19 driven ethanol problems. But I think probably the most encouraging sign to me for that industry is that stocks now have fallen back literally to where they were at their lowest level, almost down to their lowest level of where they were in the latter part of 2019. So here, demand's picking up, stocks are tightening some, so there's room for production to come back online. And really, when you see prices, we've seen ethanol prices now, which have jumped up, at least in Iowa, as I was looking at them, to about $1.19. They had been, again, about 80 cents or below. So quite a recovery there. Of course, corn prices have come back up some, so you still have, still not, quote, covering full costs for the average plant, but our numbers show a loss of about 9 cents a gallon so far on average, coming through the month of June, and that's not wonderful, but it's better than 25 cents a gallon. When we got to 25 cents a gallon, 30 cents a gallon losses on this average plant, then you saw the ethanol plants close, you know, or cut back dramatically. So there must be quite a bit of difference between 25, 30 cents loss for an average plant and 9 cents loss. And in the competitive structure of things, the better, the ethanol plants that are better equipped because of probably debt pay down and some efficiencies to operate at 9 cents under are going forth. And some others are probably considering how they'll structure their business and move forward from there.
And while ethanol is the primary product from a plant for fuel, DDGs for feed are also one of the co-products, a couple of other things too. What is it that it looks like for the DDG market? And the livestock sector clearly has been impacted.
Well, the livestock sector has been impacted, and there's probably quite a cautionary tale and a story to tell in terms of what happened to DDG prices. And now we can look back and say, well, yes, when those ethanol plants cut back, there's a lot of demand from the dairy industry in particular for DDGs because it was so vital to their feed rations. Prices shot up tremendously for that. I think, as I recall, some numbers, when you look at distillers' grains prices, up near $200 per ton in South Dakota, near that, of course, in Iowa. And almost all that gain now has gone away as the markets have the industries have readjusted and et cetera. It's now we came into that situation at about $140 per ton, jumped up to about $200 a ton in the midst of that crunch demand, and now fallen back down to where at about $125 a ton in those South Dakota markets as kind of an example of how all that's worked out. So 140 to 200 to 125. And I think that's a definition of volatility there, Todd.
Indeed it is. One last thing. Go back through the numbers for me for the ethanol revenues and the net returns, you think, from your ISU or Iowa State University ethanol plant model.
Well, by our numbers, the June average price so far for the first 3 weeks is about $1.19 per gallon. The cost at $1.28, and that's affected some by where corn prices have gone. And by the time you take in a little bit higher corn price and the weakening in the distillers' grains markets, we have a loss. A June projected net loss so far through June 19th, anyway, with the data we have, of about 9 cents a gallon produced. Below cost. So again, 128 cost, $1.19 price, loss of about 9 cents a gallon.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. Dan O'Brien is with Kansas State University Extension. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. You have a good day. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.